This yielding requires two things. Number one, it requires hearing, but it also requires heeding, or in other words, giving serious attention to what we hear. And so we find out that it is possible for us to walk in the Spirit. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So walking in the Spirit begins with a life of faith. And then it progresses to believing and obeying God's promises and God's commands. And in verse 22 and verse 23, we find a list of virtues that we ought to dominate our life as we desire to walk in the Spirit. And so far, we have looked at love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And this evening, we're looking at the eighth virtue found here in verse number 23, and that is this idea of meekness. I think that most people today really don't have a good understanding of just what is biblical meekness. Now, they might have some definition that they heard of or some vain philosophy that they think meekness is, but not too many people outside of the local New Testament church really understand what biblical meekness is. Meekness is a word that's hardly ever used today. You don't hear in the national media today, and you don't see the liberal news media today highlighting stories about meekness and people that exhibit this area of meekness in their lives. You don't find the top 10 meekest people on the Times cover as a person of the year. That's not listed there. They don't make lists about meek people or the meekest people. It's probably due to our society's emphasis on individual strength and our own independence rather than on dependence on our totality on God himself. And I believe that's the reason why, because if you were to totally rely on God, you would understand that you would exhibit this area of meekness in your life. Meekness today is often associated with a lack of personality. I particularly think it could be men, shy men or a shy young lady, and we think they're shy, we think they're meek, they really don't have that much of a outgoing kind of personality, and we would look at them and we would say that they're meek, and sometimes it's associated not only with a lack of personality, but with a lack of strength. And in most people's mind, meekness equates to weakness. As a matter of fact, when I looked up the definition of meekness, I found the Encarta Dictionary. I don't normally go there, but sometimes when I'm looking for a different kind of definition, I go to there. And the Encarta Dictionary used this as one of their definitions for meekness. They said it's cowed, C-O-W-E-D. And they said it's showing submission and a lack of initiative or a lack of will. But understand this evening that meekness is not weakness. Someone said this, it's power under control, which I wholeheartedly agree with that definition. In fact, just the opposite is true. Meekness is not weakness, but it is power under control. Why? Because it requires a very uncommon strength to show meekness. You see, people that are meek really are strong. They're looked at as being weak, and they're looked at as having no personality and no strength, but a person who exhibits Christ-like meekness, to me, is a very, very strong person. Why is that? Because it requires that uncommon strength that most people do not have to exhibit this area of meekness of the fruit of the Spirit. They might list out all other eight of the fruit of the Spirit. They say, I have this fruit exhibited in my life, but this area of meekness, most people really do not. One Bible dictionary defines meekness as a submissive and teachable spirit towards God that reveals itself in genuine consideration for each other. I like that definition, a submission and teachable spirit towards God that reveals itself in genuine consideration towards others. We could say this, that meekness is a willingness to yield, but it's never spineless. Vance Havner, that great preacher of yesteryear, once wrote this, "God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce crops. It takes broken clouds to give rain. Broken grain to make bread, broken bread to give strength. It was an alabaster box that gave forth perfume. It was broken Peter weeping bitterly who returned in the greater power than before." You see, remember this, that even our Lord Jesus Christ was meek according to the Scriptures. In Matthew 21 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Tell ye the daughters of Zion, remember the king cometh unto thee." Notice this word, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. So having said that and gave us an introduction to this, to the title of this message, of Walking in Meekness, let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's word. And let's read here in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22 and verse 23. And then we'll pray and think on this thought of walking in meekness. Notice the Bible says in Galatians 5 and verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this fruit of the Spirit, Father, as we would look at this fruit, Father, and look at the virtues of this fruit, and we examine our own self, Father, I pray that each of these virtues would be found inside our own lives. Father, we do desire to walk in meekness tonight, but Father, we desire even more than that, Father, to walk in your ways. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us, Father, to exhibit this area of meekness in our life as we walk in this. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice, first of all, this evening, the origin of meekness. So I began to ask myself this question, where does meekness come? If we're commanded to have this fruit of the Spirit in our life, if we're commanded to walk in the Spirit and exhibit this area of meekness, we have to understand, where does meekness come from? Is it inherited from my mother or my father or my great-grandmother or my grandmother? Where does it come from? Understand this, that true meekness was first demonstrated for us in the life of people just like Moses. Now, Moses probably wasn't the first one that exhibited meekness, but we find recorded for us in Numbers 12 in verse number 3, "Now the man Moses," get these words, "was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." I don't know about you, but when God's word says that they were above all the men or above all the women and all the earth, guess what? That's really saying something. I don't never met Moses. I look forward to meeting him someday in heaven, but I understand this. I know about him a lot of different things since Pastor James taught that Sunday school class on Moses, but I do know this now, that Moses was very meek. And then in the New Testament, it was demonstrated as well in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2 and verses 6 through 8, we find these words, "Who," and it's speaking about Jesus, "who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation," again, humbled himself and was meek. And then the Bible goes on to say, "and took upon him the form of a servant." Servants are humble, servants are meek, "and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Notice the wording in there, being in the form of God. What's that really saying? Is simply this, that is God in the flesh. So being in the form of God, being God in the flesh, we find that Jesus humbled himself and took on no reputation, took on himself the form of a servant. You see, Jesus had the right to do whatever he wanted to do, but for our sake, the Bible says, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm reminded of 1 Peter 2 and verse 3, which says this, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but commended himself to him that judgeth righteously." Here we have Jesus Christ being the ultimate example of someone who exhibited meekness even in the world that we live in today. The Lord Jesus Christ modeled for us this virtue of meekness. Meekness, understand this evening, originated with God. So we asked the question earlier, where did meekness come from? Let me answer it again to you in case you missed it. Meekness originated with God and his son, Jesus Christ. So therefore, because it has originated with God and his son, Jesus Christ, notice this, first of all, this evening. Meekness is produced by the Spirit. In Colossians 1 and verse 27, we find these words, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of his glory." You see, the meek will learn several things. Number one, they'll learn from God. The meek will learn from God. In Psalm 25, verse number 9, the Bible says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So we talked this morning about hearing and learning and doing God's word. And listen, part of doing that is becoming meek, becoming humble, being submissive to God's will and way for our life. Remember how we defined meekness just a few minutes ago? We defined it this way: a submissive and teachable spirit toward God that reveals itself in genuine consideration towards others. You see, a lot of people today, and you might know some, and I hope you're not one, but if you are, guess what? You can repent of it tonight, and you can begin to exhibit this fruit of the Spirit in your life. A lot of people today are self-willed. They're stubborn. They're determined. They're just know-it-alls. And if you want to be submissive and you want to be obedient to God, you're going to have to recognize these tendencies in ourselves and confess those tendencies and forsake those things and ask God to make you a meeker person. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Two wives were doing their laundry at a laundromat, and they were mending their husband's pants. So you know that this illustration is from a few years ago. Not too many wives mend their husband's pants. They throw them in the trash and go to the store and buy them new ones. Well, we might mend a few places here or there, but generally, you know what I'm speaking about. One wife said to another, "My husband is so miserable, nothing goes right for him. Our home is always a place of despair. When we go to church, he's always critical of everyone. The song leader doesn't know how to lead a song, and the pastors and deacons are all idiots." I say that sounds like a disgruntled Baptist if I ever heard one. The other wife looked at her and chimed in and said, "Well, praise God, that isn't what it's like in my house where I live. My husband is always excited about what's going on at church and cannot wait to get to church. He loves the singing. He loves the worship of God. He loves the preaching and loves the pastor. We laugh all the time and we enjoy our family." It got really quiet as the two women continued to mend their husband's pants. You see, the first wife was mending the seat of her husband's pants, while the second wife was mending the knees of her husband's pants. And I think the application is pretty obvious for you and I this evening. Well, the meek will learn from God. But then notice something else. Not only will they learn from God, but in Psalm 22 and verse 26, we find that the meek will be satisfied by God. In Psalm 22 and verse 26, the Bible says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied." Now, there you go. Listen, I must not be meek because I eat all the time and I'm not satisfied. Every once in a while when I eat way too much, I get satisfied. But you know what I'm saying this evening. The Bible said, "They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever." You see, the meek are content, or we could say the Bible term, the meek are satisfied. They recognize that God the Father is the creator and Jesus Christ the sustainer of all life. Most people really are not content today. They're never happy. They're always complaining about something. Now go ahead and just erase that person's name out of your mind right now, because we're not going to finger point or mind blame anybody. But you know, there's people that are like that. They're never satisfied with anything. I think what we need to do is just stop and listen to ourselves just a little bit. I want to give you a little personal illustration that whenever we go see Joshua and Jennifer and the girls and so Stephen and Jordan, we oftentimes, Donna and I, don't want to be a burden to them. So once or twice, we'll take them out to a meal somewhere, something nice, and then we'll take the children out to McDonald's Playhouse or someplace like that. And so one day, we were out to a restaurant, and we were talking, and Joshua said, he said to Stephen, and he didn't think I could hear it, but I heard him. He said, "I wonder what Dad's going to complain about at this meal." And I thought, what in the world is he talking about? Stephen said, "I don't know, but it'll be something." And it was like a dagger in my heart. And I guess my philosophy was, if I'm paying good money for this food, it better be right when it comes. It better be hot if it's hot. It better be cold if it's cold. It better be fizzy if it's a soda. The silverware better be clean. But I began to think, and I had to begin to stop and think and listen to myself. So I began to understand this, that no matter what comes on the plate, when I'm out with somebody, I'm eating and keep my mouth shut, amen. I might write them an email, but I ain't telling anybody else that. Listen, we don't realize how much we complain. And we're complainers. We don't have nothing to complain about. Thank God you're here today. Your car got you here. There was gas, hopefully enough, to get you home. If not, see us. Well, we'll help you get home. Amen. You had supper before you came, or at least lunch. And you had a house that you could stay in, whether you liked it hot or cold. And listen, we don't really have anything to complain about. I don't care if your spouse is a spouse nightmare. Listen, you don't have anything to complain about. God gave them to you. Work on yourself and let God change them. I'm simply saying this, that I came to the point where I realized that I always complained about when I went out to eat. And so I began to think, oh God, help me not to be a complainer any longer. Someone once said this, "The axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. It could do nothing but for the woodman. He made it, he sharpened it, and he used it. The moment he throws it aside, it becomes only an old rusty piece of iron." Oh, that we never lose sight of that thought. Let me remind you this, that we are just the clay and that he is the potter. When it comes to the origins of meekness, we see, number one, not only is it produced by the Spirit, but number two, notice this, meekness is praised by the Savior. Jesus said in Matthew 5, in verse number 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, I'm not going to elaborate on this passage because I'm really contemplating and mulling over preaching on the kingdom chapters there in Matthew. But understand this, Jesus praised those that are meek. And he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Then I like what Isaiah says in Isaiah 29 and verse number 19. "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Well, not only do we have the origin of meekness, notice secondly, the operations of meekness. So as we think about the operation of meekness, again, we have a question we're going to ask ourselves, and that's simply this: how does this meekness work? Well, to put it very simply, the walk of the believer manifests itself in a gentle spirit. And maybe you're sitting here this evening or listening by the way of live stream, and you say, "Pastor, I wish I knew what you're talking about. I need some help in this area of walking in the Spirit." Well, I'm glad that you recognize that fact, and you can receive help from the Lord. In Ephesians 4 and verse 2, the Bible said, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another." You see, meekness is an integral part of our humbleness. It's an integral part of us being long-suffering and forbearing, or in other words, I'd like to put it in pastor's own words, putting up with one another. And we do that by and in and through the love of God. Notice that this meekness, first of all, properly responds to difficulty. This kind of meekness properly responds to difficulties. You know, we may not always be able to control the actions of others, and most times we cannot control the action of others. Some of us had trouble controlling the actions of our children as we were raising them up. But we can control our response to them in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We can't always make people do what they should do, but we can control our response to whatever they do, in and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Most people today respond incorrectly because they have not learned how that they are supposed to respond when someone responds incorrectly to them. So we need to start thinking through some things. We need to think through things when people and say things and write things and text things and speak things and act in a way that really is not pleasing to the Lord and not pleasing to us. And we need to think, just how should I respond to this? And the first word that comes up ought to be this. Can you guess what that word is? Meekness. Meekness, with meekness in our life. And we need to start thinking through things instead of just jumping out and lashing out at things. Proverbs 22:3 says this, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." And so we find that a prudent man, or let me just substitute this word, that we find a meek man foreseeth the evil. He understands what's coming down the road, and he hideth himself, but the simple just pass on and are punished because they fall into that trap. Titus 3 and verse 2 says this, "To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers but Gentiles, showing all meekness unto men." You see, meekness can calm a bad temper. Meekness knows how to diffuse a bad situation that you find yourself in. Meekness is the strength to back away from the fight, even though you could win that fight. Think about that. It's not always about being right. It's not always about winning. It's about showing meekness. I like what Paul writes Timothy in chapter 6 and verse 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience." And notice the last thing that Paul tells Timothy that he needs to follow after, and there's that word for you and I tonight, meekness. There was a Sunday school teacher who was once asking his class about the meaning of Matthew 5 and in verse number 5. So he asked him, Who are the meek? If Jesus said the meek are going to be lifted up, who are the meek? Well, one lady thought about it for a few seconds in the back of the room, raised her hand and said, "The meek are those who give nice answers to rough questions." Listen, I don't know if that's a definition I would use, but truth of the matter is that lady's definition does give a good definition of what meekness is. You see, we need to think through these things. So meekness properly responds to difficulties. And then we see, secondly, that meekness properly responds in relationships. In Ephesians 5:21, the Bible says, "Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God." You see, most people don't want to submit to anyone. They want to be their own king. They want to be the king of kings, and they want to be their own man. They want to be their own lady. They don't want to submit to their spouse. They don't want to submit to their boss. And last of all, they surely do not want to submit to their pastor. Most people do not want to submit to anyone. There was a time when I was in Pennsylvania that I was asked to meet with a couple, and they decided they wanted to get married, and I was meeting with them, and kind of like the preliminary meeting I have before I decide whether or not I will marry a couple. In that meeting with that couple, the young lady said, "Before we get too farther on this thing," she says, "I want to take that vow out that tells me I have to submit to my husband." And I said, "That's okay, you can take that out if you want, but you have to find somebody else to marry you." And she looked at me, gave me a dirty look, but reluctantly she changed her mind, and I married him there in our church. I'm not going to take time to read 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7, but what a good passage of scripture that is that speaks about a wife being in subjection to their own husband. And we always harp on that part, but I want to look at verse 7, and then it says, "Likewise." That word "likewise" means similar. "Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And coming into this new year, we'll be going through a series on the church and the family. So I'm not going to belabor this point this evening, but understand this, is that there is a point where the wife is to be submissive to her husband, and the husband is to dwell with his wife according to the knowledge, giving honor to his wife. And because really it says, as being heirs together in the grace of this life, you're in a mutual run together. Well, we see meekness really is the ability to disagree agreeably. That's what meekness is. It's willing to say, "I disagree with you, but we can still be friends with that situation." Well, not only do we see the origin and the operation of meekness, notice lastly, as we close, the opportunity of meekness. The opportunity of meekness. The first thing that meekness will do is to, number one, reveal Christ in us. That's what meekness is going to do. In Matthew 11, verses 29 through 30, we find the Lord saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And notice the wording, "For I am meek and lowly, or we could say humble in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we're going to reveal Christ in us, we're going to have to be like Christ. What was Christ? By his own omission, by his own words, he said that he was meek and he was lowly in heart. You see, we as born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't win spiritual battles while walking in the flesh. It's impossible for us to win spiritual battles when we walk in the flesh. You see, how do you know that? Because 1 Peter 3, verses 5 and 16 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the hope that lies in you," notice these words again, "with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, whereas that they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." So the opportunities of meekness, the number one is that meekness reveals Christ in us. But then notice number two, that the opportunity of meekness reflects the word of God in James 1, verses 22 and verses 21 and 22. You see, meekness will cause us to receive the word. It will put us in a place where we can receive God's word. Notice what the Bible said in James 1 and verse 21. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." Remember, the definition of meekness is a submissible and a teachable spirit towards God. That word teachable is someone who wants to be taught. They have an apt to learn. They're ready to receive instruction from a spiritually mature person. A person who will receive with meekness the engrafted word, the Bible says, talks about receiving. That means to welcome and be ready to obey. So in other words, we'll allow the word of God to do its work in and through us. The engrafted part means planted like a seed. So we could say this, when we welcome and we're ready to obey the seed that's engrafted or the seed that's planted in us, we will then and only then be ready to reflect the word of God. Well, we see in verse number 22 that meekness will cause us to do something else. It will cause us not only to reflect the word, but to live in the word. The Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3, Paul begins to express his thanks for the believers at Thessalonica because they received the word of God and they allowed God's word to work in their heart. Notice what Paul said. He said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye," notice this word, "received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." And then notice what he says, "which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You see, this was a demonstration of the working of God's word in their life. And I wonder, as you and I look at our lives this evening, do we not see only a receiving of God's word, but a demonstration of God's word as well? I hope that you do. You see, it doesn't do us any good just to receive and not demonstrate it. Well, as we close this evening, understand that Jesus is our ultimate example of meekness. When he endured the torment on the cross of Calvary, he still had all his power available to him. He could have come down at any time and destroyed all those that have put him there on the cross. But in his meekness, he remained upon the cross and he endured that physical torment and the sin of the entire world being placed upon him by God the Father. You see, Christ's meekness was anything but weakness. As a matter of fact, it was strength. So as you and I, as we walk in the Spirit, we are to show forth this meekness as the fruit of the Spirit. We'll close with Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. And notice this word, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We are commanded to walk in the Spirit. We are commanded to exhibit this fruit of the Spirit over and over and over again. I believe that meekness is one of the most overlooked of the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit above all the other nine. I think it's high time you and I experience this and exhibit and demonstrate this area of meekness in our lives. Now that we have seen and understand the origin and the operation and the opportunity of meekness, let us all this week, starting right now, this day, tonight, walk in meekness. Heavenly Father,